Well, friends, enemies, thank you for tuning in. Great to have you here once again, Henrik with Red Ice TV. And today we're going to, well, kind of really continue talking about the issue of censorship. We've seen another level of crackdown here just in the past week. You guys remember we had, you can pull up that article real quick, Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, Milo, even Paul Neelan. Who else am I leaving out here? Paul Joseph Watson was a few of the individuals that were banned from Facebook. Now, the issue with this, of course, is that we usually hear about larger channels. We hear about when there's big names, if you will, that kind of still have a little bit of draw and reach into the mainstream that they get mentioned. But the problem is that we have a lot of smaller channels. And again, meaning smaller, not to diminish the work that these channels are doing. It's just they haven't been able to grow the audiences quite to that extent yet. So we have a gentleman with us today, Erik from Identity Svea, which is, again, for those of you who don't know, Svea is kind of like the anthropomorphized goddess of Sweden, you could say. It's like a kind of a shield maiden Valkyrie type figure. And he had his YouTube channel shut down. He had his Instagram taken away. He had a number of things that happened in unison all at the same time, which was pretty interesting. So, Erik, thank you for coming on with us here today. It's good to have you here.
Hi, Henrik. It's an honor to be on Red Ice. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Great to have you here. So let's talk about this and talk a bit about what happened. Now, I know, of course, you've set up the channels again. And we'll get into that and talk about, you know, kind of what material you guys have been posting and stuff like that. But what happened and why do you think YouTube, I mean, YouTube was your big platform, I guess. Why did this happen and what's the reasoning you were given from YouTube? Why it was shut down?
Right. I woke up Monday morning and got a text from a friend and he asked, have they shut down your YouTube channel? And I was just like, oh shit. Walked to the computer. Yeah, everything was gone. It was like Hiroshima. Everything was,
was
gone.
Nuked.
And I just hit 4,000 subscribers like that night. And then yesterday, and then I just like, whatever, I went for a run, came back and just thought, you know, what I'm gonna do, and I just set everything up again. And then yesterday my Instagram account was removed, and my private Facebook and
your Gmail Facebook account too was removed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I did manage to get the Gmail account back, but the thing is that if the channel is deleted, you can't get the channel back, so I can't get the channel back. I did get my email back, which means I got all the texts in Google Docs back, which was great.
But yeah. So yeah, here's the screenshot I got from Instagram. Now, of course, Instagram is owned by Facebook, so that those are connected. That kind of, I guess, that makes sense. But how quickly apart was this, or what's my expression I'm looking for? How fast together were?
It was one day.
One day, all of them together.
One day.
So what's the reasoning? Let's, for those who don't know, then obviously you do kind of fitness videos, you do motivational stuff, you do about like working out,
right,
martial arts, like, that kind of stuff,
yeah,
right?
Initiation, like male archetypes, bringing Swedish lads to the next level. You know, actually, I don't think about it too much, like why this happened, and I just, you know, that happened yesterday. Let's move on. That's my mindset. If I get stuck in it too much,
I want to pick on it because I want to give YouTube. I want people out there to understand that that this is happening on this level. Now it's great that you're moving on, and I'm all with you on that, right? And by the way, we're just showing kind of some B-roll from a few of the videos that you had uploaded. You sent me about three. I'll show some footage from them. What possibly could be the issue with this is like, well, it's violence. I mean, there's plenty of martial art and fighting and fitness channels on YouTube still.
Right, Swedish toxic masculinity, that is.
Do you think it was from the Swedish some group from Sweden that pressured the Swedish brands of YouTube to have it removed?
Yeah, I think it was someone who was after me. Someone like wanted it shut down, and then they made it happen. However, they made it happen.
And you said, what did you say, about a year you had it going?
Yeah, I had it for a year and 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, so not that long, but again, long enough to get a name. And now you told me a little anecdote before that you had an incident at Almedalen, which is kind of a political, what is it, a week or a weekend in
right, all the political parties can kind of show off and
yeah, that's like a big
show what kind of bullshit agenda they're planning for the next 4 years.
Exactly. It's like, you know, well, not Politicon, but it, for Americans, like, you know, you have these CPAC kind of, you know, everyone gets together and they're like, you know, talking about their politics or whatever. It's like a big, big event. It's on the biggest island called Gotland. And that's where you had a run-in and you had a little bit of someone from the media wrote about you there. Tell us that story.
Right. I mean, they didn't know who I was, but yeah, they wrote that I apparently assaulted, someone. The article was like, 22-year-old gets assaulted by Nazi, and he punched my my camera. So my friend holding my camera.
So you pushed back, fought back?
Yeah, I just pulled into the ground. Nothing more, nothing less.
Right. So that kind of got your name out there a little bit. So after that point, the channel has been growing. I would assume it is. They say there's no such thing as bad publicity. So I guess that. That makes that
right,
point.
But you misunderstood there. Like, they didn't know that that was me.
Right, right.
The article, but nah, I mean, the channel has been growing because I've been live streaming from a lot of Alternative for Sweden's political rallies, and that just those videos really blew up. I mean, tens of thousands of views.
Hey, that's right. I'm sorry. I didn't even understand. I didn't connect that now. Now, that's right. I recognize you. I tuned in. You did it on Periscope too, right? Didn't you?
No.
No? Okay. Okay. No, then okay.
Only on YouTube.
Only on YouTube. I must have caught them on YouTube.
A couple of rallies. And then I also just filmed Antifa, filmed spontaneous debates that arose from Alternative for Sweden supporters and myself and just other bystanders. And a lot of those were actually removed by YouTube. Mm. Every time you show the right wing as reasonable, I guess, you know, they need to get it shut it down.
Yep, shut it down, get it off. Absolutely. No, I did catch some of those. I remember you did a good job on those, kind of walking around and just showing some of the crowds and kind of just so you could get a feel if you weren't there of what was going on there. So that was good too. So okay, so that's what you've been involved in. That's what you've been doing. And again, then now, consequently, we have termination of most of your channels. How are you? And again, I demonstrate this to the audience out there that this is the level which smaller YouTubers and creators and the environment is on social media now. That we're basically, you are never given a reason. They just say it's a violation of their policy or terms of service or something like that. Kind of like the screenshot says. It says a violation against our terms of service, basically. That's what it says. But you don't know what that is. What video? What post? What was there something in there? Like, how are you going to be able to know what the violation was if they don't tell you? And so, consequently, if you set it up again and continue, what's their reasoning in just removing it again and again and again? You see what I'm saying?
You know, we'll see. I've wanted to go away from the really heavily politically affiliated topics and work more with philosophy and self-improvement, because I think that's where the real solution that we can actually affect. I think that a lot of times politics just becomes, you know, as we are stating our opinions in our little, you know, right-wing echo chamber, and the left is stating their opinions in their little left-wing echo chamber, and nothing, and then the elite just keeps on, they are acting, so they're in control. And I think that we just need to play our own game. We're playing for example, the Yellow Vests. They kind of got a thing started in Sweden. But having a demonstration, it's kind of like letting the prisoners out in the yard. Like, yeah, go out in the yard, you know, tussle a bit, work out, but then back in the cell. That's basically what a demonstration is. I mean, the police have that locked down tighter than, you know, Alcatraz or something. Mm-hmm. So we need to stop playing their game, and we need to stop playing by their rules, and we need to set our own rules. And that's what I'm going to focus on.
No, I agree. Just doing what we need to do to move forward, show kind of that you can lead by example, be an inspiration to other, you know, young guys, of course, in Sweden. What would you say the need for what you're doing, what the need for that is right now when it comes to, let's say, growing up in, I mean, Sweden has declared itself one of the first, feminist, maybe not superpowers, but feminist countries in the world, right? The situation as a young boy growing up in Sweden. Pretty hard.
Sweden is a humanitarian superpower, but life is cheap in the humanitarian superpower. Just, I mean, just yesterday there was a video, kind of a harrowing video of a three immigrants harassing and humiliating and beating a Swedish teen. He was at least 15 because he had a car. You can have a car if it's if it only runs at like 50 kilometers an hour in Sweden. So he was at least 15. I know these immigrants, they were 16 about. And you know, two stood and videotaped it. And this other guy, he grabbed him by the hair. And he said, you know, I'm going to count to three. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to beat you. And then he kicked him. And when we from the right wing say, look at Sweden, you know, we're the rape capital of the world, we are, you know, all these things are happening, and then people come here and then walk around our cities and they're like, hey, nothing happened to me. I bet these right wingers are just exaggerating. Well, now they got it on camera, but that happens every day. Like we have multiple rapes every day. It's just that you don't see it. Like those couple of square meters that you move around in from your home to work to the gym and back, you're not going to notice it. But if you dare to look under the blanket, you're going to notice Sweden is a beautiful feminist paradise, but that is a facade for a corpse, an absolute corpse, just no soul, no empathy. And it's sucking the, like, if you don't know how to live in the ruins, it's sucking the life out of you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we're seeing. That's called the black pill, you know.
And
people are giving up, and that's what I want to prevent. Like, for example, this guy, this young guy. Now that he went through that, I mean, imagine all the anger and shame he gonna feel.
Absolutely.
After being videotaped, seen by thousands of people, and now he can draw. You can almost always draw two opposite conclusions. Either he can draw the conclusion, well, I'm weak, I can never do anything about this, I can never stand up for myself, so I'm just going to hide in my video game world, in fairy tale land. Or he can go the opposite route and say, I'm never ever going to allow this to happen to me again, because on some level, and this is going to sound really harsh, but on some level it's his fault. Like, on some level, this is where the extreme ownership comes in. We have to own everything, because it's the only way to get power in our lives. He has to say that this happened to me and is never going to happen to me again. I'm not a victim, because a victim can't do anything about it. So he has to find a way where he is the one in power. And that is by, you know, taking the glorious pill, taking the iron pill, starting working out, starting building your gang, working on yourself. And that's the conclusion that we all have to draw from this, because that just shows that, like, the take you're supposed to do from that, like, if we're gonna extrapolate it into a political discussion, is that rights do not exist. Feminists talk about we need more laws around rape. We need more laws. We need harsher punishments. A punishment or a law or a right does not exist. It's an abstract fabrication. The only thing that exists is the men willing to use violence in order to say that, like, this is what's going to happen to you if you do this, and it's going to be me planting my fist in your face. That's the only thing that keeps, that validates rights. But we are a people without rights. We cannot protect ourselves. Our family structure is asunder because of Swedish family politics, because of taxation, because of the violent transfer of wealth from the Swedish population to the immigrant populations, and you can pile the the things that are done to the Swedish population in order to decrease our ability to compete with other groups in the marketplace for space, for resources, for kids, whatever. But, you know, it's just like when my channel got shut down, I could lay down with my belly up and give up and say, oh, 1 year's work, hundreds of hours, blood, sweat, and tears, wow, wow, wow. Whatever, it doesn't matter. If they shut me down when I'm at 40,000 subs, then I'll do it again. Identity Svea 3.0. And then I'm at 400,000 subs and they shut me down then. And I'll just do it again. And we'll just keep playing this game until we win. I mean, what's the alternative? What's the solution?
Yeah, to the alternative lie down is
slavery,
and die.
Slavery,
lose.
Death, and annihilation.
Yeah, right. And that isn't an option. That's out of the question, right? So, yeah, no, and
absolutely,
you know, but the absurdity of the conditions that we are operating under, because as you rightly point out, we always hear that, you know, if we complain on the situation as nationalists or you know, right wingers, if you prefer that term, then we are, you know, snowflakes and oh whoop de doo, you lost this here and there kind of thing, right? And then we're like, okay, well, then we, you know, when we want to fight back and stuff, then we're violent, dangerous, you know, criminals and stuff like that, right? And again, we saw that rhetoric with the Facebook ban, right? There was they were banned because they were dangerous individuals. And so, again, there seems to be in a terms of service change, right? That they're seeing the establishment, the whole thing, and the infrastructure here is everywhere from left-wing pressure groups to government to social media. You know, the whole darn tootant establishment, right, that we talk about. And so I think someone like you is weaved, wrapped into that, those changes that are coming now, that if you motivate young men, if you motivate young people to again, get fit, again, and what you said is very pertinent and a good point, not really blame other people, but taking that responsibility and saying, okay, shit, I have, you know, not understood the situation in the world of what's happening. Now it's up to me to sort that out and make sure that I can defend myself and protect myself against violence and against the aggression that's happening against us, right?
I mean, it's not about that bad things do not happen to innocent people in Sweden. It's just that mindset of extreme ownership is the only solution, because the other solution is being a victim and crying about it and talking about how it's so unfair. It is not unfair. They are our enemies. The system is our enemies. They hate us. And they will use any length, I mean any length, to demoralize us. And I mean, what's that Sun Tzu quote? Supreme victory consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting.
Exactly. That's what they're trying to do. Exactly. And that's why they're shaming us. That's why they're calling us bad words, right? And making us feel bad at fighting back. Because then they think, if we can get these guys to give up before we've even entered battle, why not, right? Why not make this as simple as possible, you know?
Henrik, they say that, ooh, the right wing is so full of men. You know why? Because the left is so full of pussies. That's why. The real men are on the right. The real men are standing up for the truth. And I mean, young guys, I get the resentment. I get the feeling of, you know, it's hard meeting a girl, because every girl is just, or a lot of girls are brainwashed by feminism. And in school, you know, we have 9 years of mandatory education in Sweden. And then we got 3 years of high school, which is just a continuation of the indoctrination. And, you know, that's quite potent. But anyway, what I want to tell young guys is, like, why do you think that they call us such things like toxic masculinity and talk about rape culture and all of these concepts and memes designed to undermine masculinity? Why is that? Why are they so hell-bent, and why are they so afraid of, you know, fit, smart, well-dressed young European men? Well, that is because fit, smart, well-dressed European men are gonna be the ones that bootstraps our civilization out of the cultural Marxist cappuccino collared muck that we find ourselves in. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, they've It's not really a secret that who they've declared the enemy. It's not really a secret who you openly can discriminate against. It's no secret what the establishment is attempting to do in the sense of the ongoing population replacement. But yeah, I think many people are not, you know, obviously they're not on that stage yet. They don't see that. They think, you know, we're, you know, again, they call us names, right? Conspiracy theorists and stuff like that. But this comprises of actual just observable data, birth rates in junction with open borders and mass immigration. And then you do have weaved into that also a normalization of dehumanization and even violence against people of European descent, right? We have an anti-white or anti-European kind of sentiment that is weaved out through the establishment. And I think that's what creates that kind of situation where you can have the example that you made. You have a young boy who's attacked on that level because he's Swedish. He's attacked on a racial basis, but the establishment will say nothing to defend him. Imagine if it was the other way around, right? Imagine the news stories and imagine the... I mean, it would be maybe not world news, but it would be national news all over Sweden, right?
It definitely would. Three neo-Nazis beating and humiliating a poor immigrant's kid.
You know, right.
That would be headlines for a week.
At they least.
Make documentaries about that. They would make a statue out of that kid and say that he was brave and he stood up against the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
And he didn't flinch or whatever, you know, whatever.
That's right. Here we are hanging out with Marcus Wallin, the Golden One. You guys have been doing some videos together too, some kind of cross promotion and stuff. So that's good to see you guys together. Tell us a bit more about some the importance of the motivational aspect. And I like that approach to the problem, right? And we certainly spend a lot of time dealing with the, you know, with the things that are being done towards us in an effort to wake people up, to get them to understand that it's not accidental. There is a real kind of reason, if you will, to the madness of why all this is happening. But then, of course, the kind of the next step in that process, which is what kind of people like you and Marcus is doing, which is really to, all right, like now you know the problem, time to get motivated, time to do something about it, time to take that responsibility. And do so, and change things yourself instead of sitting around whining. I like that. What else would you say about the kind of the motivational work that you've been doing? What gets you to find inspiration? And I'm sure you have days when you're, I don't know, down or it feels hopeless or it feels like it's, you know, when is this ever going to turn around and stuff like that? What do you do to overcome those kinds of feelings, I guess, emotions or sense of hopelessness in this situation we're in?
Right. I've been there, like deep down in the black pill, you know, rabbit hole, when you just like, there's no solution. We're never going to win. I better just move to Estonia or something. But
now still pretty white there, isn't it? Estonia.
It is.
It's like 90. I think the biggest minority, but you know what I mean, is the Russian speaking population, I believe. Russians. Right? Yeah.
But
awful. Anyway, go on.
Right. But you know, I've realized that the process of externalizing one's problem, that is to inscribe all the faults in one's own life to external problems, that is the system, the elite, the politicians, different foreign groups, that makes you really resentful. It makes you, it also puts you in a power of not being powerful and not being able to do anything about it, because all you think about doing is changing someone else. And I get this, a lot of people asking, well, when are we going to do something? When are people going to wake up? How are we going to wake them up? And I just tell them, like, stop externalizing. You're not going to wake anybody up, especially with your attitude, because you're black pilled, you know, anonymous account on YouTube, and you think that you are gonna, and also when you come and you have this frantic energy and you're like, come on, you need to wake up, Sweden is going to hell in handbasket, people are just gonna recall away from that. And I'm just, we need to I just found that we need to find peace within ourselves and be at peace with the situation, accept the situation for what it is, and that we live among the ruins of Western civilization. Western civilization, in my mind, died in the trenches and mud of World War I. I mean, since then, it has only been going downwards. And the Golden One, he said it really eloquently in our video, that we are like an oak on a well-nourished meadow, and that we can grow anew, and that we can ascend our current situation, but also regress. We can regress to a point in time where our culture actually was a manifestation of our people. And for that, we need to look inwards, because all the truths are inside of us. Like our people, we are the tip of the spear, that is the bloodline that goes back 4 billion years, and that has all, you know, accumulated up into you. And it's your job to, like this Matthias Wagner said this, like it's your job to make sure that spear point hits its aim. And I can't help to, like, why are we so bummed down about this? Like, this is, we can view this as, you know, we can view our civilization as a super organism. A super organism, you know, as a collection of individuals, if we see that as the people of Europe, or if we see that as a particular people like the Swedes and the individuals that contain the Swedes, and that we are like this organism, we are going through a transformation. We are in a catalyst, a cocoon, and everything looks so dark because we're in this cocoon. But after you're in the cocoon, and it's really, you know, we're working, we're breaking out, and then we will break free, and we will reveal our, you know, our beauty, our strengths, our true essence. And, you know, like Carl Jung said, who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens, and everything is inside of us. And if guys could stop being so frantic and being so, I wanna hold up Sweden, I'm gonna save Sweden. It's like, no, you are Sweden. That's what you need to understand. Like, Sweden is not the abstract Sweden corporation established 1523 by Gustav Vasa. Sweden is you. And when you awaken that inside of you and you get that connection to the land, then you will have a calm, and you will almost die before you die. This is what we need to do. We need to die before we die. And, you know, I'm going out, you know, my mind is racing here, so you just break in when you feel like it.
No, it's good. It's good to get your thoughts on this, and I can just say, I concur, obviously, and that's a difficult challenge to take the red pill and to awaken, and that, you know, people call it down the rabbit hole for a reason. It causes you to basically lose grip on reality for a while, because everything changes, right? And this waking up process, it happens in stages. There are different aspects to it and stuff like that. But the reality is that everyone is going through that. And then, everything is chaos, and you feel that, like, oh, well, I have to save the world. It's up to me, you know, kind of thing, or something. Or we have to awaken. I have to do this. We have to do that kind of thing. It's all part of the stage, you know?
It is up to you. But in responsibility, we find meaning and purpose. People today flee from responsibility. This is one reason why our culture is so, well, not even a culture. Because what is a culture if not the things that people want to preserve? And we do not want to preserve anything. We feel that we are, if to use a religion, we feel like we are above God. We are trying to create this Tower of Babel, that is the humanitarian superpower of Sweden. And it will collapse. I mean, reality, whether you like it or not, will, you know, MMA style, you know, triangle choke you out when your faulty concepts clash with reality. And that is what's going to happen to a lot of Swedes. So when people say that, you know, we need to wake them up. I mean, they will wake up whether they want to or not. And whether that is when the, like, civil war and real race tension starts, whether that is before, so that they can, you know, they can prepare, they can strengthen themselves, they can build a group. That is up to them. But I choose the path of strength, and that is what my channel is about. It is about giving young men, particularly, the tools to live a life of strength, to live life 2.0, and to meme forth the monster, to not only talk about abstract ideals and to talk about traditionalism and to talk about right wing. We are idolizing our past. Like, view this as you are writing the story of our prime. We are ancestors in the making. We are looking back 500 years, 3,000 years back to the Bronze Age, and talking about how pristine and how interesting that was. But 3,000 years from now, what will they tell about us? Will they tell about men who rather spend their time like bonobo monkeys in front of their keyboards playing Fortnite, or men who defied all odds, like the 300 at Thermopylae, and just, you know what? I don't care what happens to me, because when I'm in this struggle, I am in such a zone, such a flow of meaning, that whatever happens now, anything else becomes pale. And that's where I feel I'm at. I'm just, everything else is just like, if you ask me, why do I do this? It's like, how could I not? That's the correct answer.
Yeah, I get it. Obviously, the opportunity is grand, in the sense that we're living maybe towards the end of the life of the West as we previously known it, right? It really is an opportunity. I think that that's how we should see it as well, an opportunity to reshape and reform something which has gone terribly wrong. And I know those arguments, kind of like, well, we have to save Sweden, and then you, like, when you really kind of philosophically dive in to examine which Sweden is it that you want to save? The one in its current form? Absolutely not. It's collapsed. It's fallen
the
apart already. It's
institutions.
gone, you know? Yeah, exactly. No, n not that, obviously. But it has it it is about a switch in the mind, a mindset change, a switch which says, it's not that it's, I mean, yes, it's depressing at first when you realize that it's falling apart. But again, that's partially why people take the clown pill, right? It's actually a first step in riding the tiger through the ruins of Western civilization. It's a recognition that it's like, it is clown world. It's upside down. It's a release. It's a letting go and saying, that's it. It's over. But then when you're at that bottom point, then you realize that for the first time, you're in an opportunity where you can rebuild and reshape. And just like that phoenix, rise out of the ashes again. And I'm feeling we're approaching that point. We're not quite just there yet, collectively speaking. Individually, many have already passed through that point. But collectively, we're seeing, as you said, the end of, like, the momentum that the West has had. It's taken a long time for that to collapse. And that's the nature of a civilization, right? Rome certainly wasn't built overnight, and it didn't collapse overnight either. It took a long time, right? It's a huge machine, basically, and it's that momentum that it just keeps going. We might have hit the iceberg already, and we're capsizing, but it's still working. The engines are still trying to push this thing forward. But sooner or later, I think, and I want to get your take on that, but sooner or later, it is in its current shape, not going to be able to sustain itself. And I think when that point comes, it's important that we collectively have taken the responsibility to be able to continue and proceed, and making sure that we can help each other, that we have networks, that we have capable and able people who are both willing and can serve as inspiration and knowledge disseminators, so that we can continue and build something new. But how do you view that collapse versus, like, opportunity kind of a discussion?
I mean, the collapse is the opportunity. I mean, imagine if we saved Sweden in that Sweden corporation established 1523. Yeah, we save it. And what are we gonna do? Watch Eurovision Song Contest
in
and
Israel, yeah.
right. I mean, what is there to save? What is this? People are like, oh, but there's such a risk in being public, such a risk in doing something. Well, what exactly is it that you're risking? Do you want to live here? This is not life. This is subsistence. I do not want to subsist. I want to thrive, and I want the people that I care about to thrive, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing. But absolutely, you know, tying back to that point I made about rights, that it is us, it is up to us to, you know, archaically revive, bootstrap up our old warrior ethos as young men, and stop saying, you know, this should or this ought to be, and saying this is how it is to be, or else. And we're not at that point yet, but you gotta meme it before you gene it. It's gotta be an idea before we turn it into a reality. And I mean, it is a regression to the tribal mindset, which is, you know, the default setting. It is the setting in which we evolved, and all our biochemical reactions that make us happy, that make us feel a meaning and love and connection to each other, is developed in this tribal mindset. So I'm seeing nothing but possibility in this, actually, because I think that if we were not going, if this do not topple, and we're just, and we keep sustaining it, and we live in this, you know, in this paradigm that we find ourselves in, then our people will die, because if the state do not collapse, it's, but it will. We're looking at a slow death. I prefer the collapse.
You know what I mean? Yep. Indeed. All right. So obviously, plenty to kind of chew on there in terms of the philosophical outlook, what people can do. I mean, again, I think the most difficult thing is, at least when it comes to online, you know, communication and communities and stuff like that, is that you're basically dealing with people that are on different levels at different times, right? So everyone didn't wake up at the same time. Everyone didn't, you know, go through certain philosophical ideas, or how do we get ourselves out of the situation and stuff like that. So it becomes, and again, that's why you can't appeal to everybody at all times. And some people, of course, go in different directions. They become pessimistic and just like, well, that's it, it's over. And you can't, and you get that. That's actually one thing I want to mention too. You get that kind of, you get that like Peter Sweden kind of mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, you know, which is mm-hmm. like, okay, sure, it's great that he's like telling people what's happening, and for the, I guess, what handful of people that actually like, oh shit, it's really happening, I better do something about that. For those individuals, it's worth it. But it's also this kind of negativity over the fact that it's like, we're still a majority, we're still in control, there's still things happening, but with more and more of this kind of information of like, it's, oh my God, it's over, it's, that's it, it's, we can't do anything kind of thing, you're defeating that purpose of trying to wake people up. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, the Peter Sweden mentality, you know?
Right, but that sentiment comes from a place of hurt and a place of sorrow. I mean, when you feel like it's over, that's because, like you just read about, you know, this week's gang rape. And you just like, what are we supposed to do? This happens every day. Like every day, some young Swedish girl gets her life destroyed. And I actually think about that every day, because that keeps me motivated, because it keeps my ego in check. Like, you know, when I was like this thing, we doubt ourselves all the time. And we think, you know, who am I to say anything, and who am I to aspire to be something? And that is these socialistic brainworms, like the socialistic psychosis that we should not strive to climb the dominance hierarchies of our society.
Yeah, the law. I think some of our audience know the concept. Yeah.
Yeah. And we need to just take those little brainworms that the system has, you know, planted in our brains and pluck them out. And because if I doubt myself, then it's a, you know, or if I think, you know, I'm cringe if I'm doing this, like, what's more cringe than thinking you're a revolutionary while working for the system, like Antifa or the syndicalists? You know, what's more cringe than being on the left in general? What's, you know, there's nothing cringe about what we are doing. And but that self-doubt always keeps creeping up. And, you know, this thing happened to me when I was live streaming an alternative for Sweden. So, you know, political campaigns. I was walking around doing my thing, and this mom and her daughter walks up to me, and they're like, "Are you Identity Svea?" I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, you're doing such a great job. You know, this little girl, still think about her. It's like, I can't doubt myself because she needs me, you know? And not only her, but hers as an abstraction of all the people that are suffering from our current predicament. It's like, if I doubt myself, like, no. That's a brain word. I would that. Like, we can't doubt ourselves. We gotta own the cringe, as Gustav Herngren says. Own the cringe and dare to be, just dare to be us. I mean, it's all there for the taking. I mean, the empire is wide open and we can just grab whatever we want from it. We just need to manifest that. We need to manifest ourselves. And it sounds really kind of new agey maybe, and really abstract, but it's not. Like, when you get it, you get it. And then all this, like this black cloud that Richard Spencer talks about, this black cloud that hangs over us and tells us that what we can't do, when we can't have a heritage, we can't be proud of ourselves and our history and everything that follows from that black cloud, it just goes away and you're living in sunshine.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, again, and it's about that, you know, getting that, you know, the backpack of rocks that you've been carrying that's weighing you down, right, to a certain extent. Right. And that's guilt and that's shame and all that kind of stuff. And you know, again, that's very intentional. It's very, very intentional. It's a psychological mechanism to keep young, specifically European men, in check so that they won't rise up and stand up and organize and oppose what it is that's happening to them. If you feel this guilt and shame, you're more prone to give up. You're more prone to wallow in negativity or turning to drugs and things like this, right? I think these are very conscious efforts, propaganda, really, that's designed towards young men so that they will, you know, be in that dark state. That's why you have literally courses on, like, you know, white privilege and shame and, you know, like all those kinds of all the things that we see every day in the news of trying to shame and blame young white guys. It's there for a very specific purpose. But as you say, all that is really is in our minds at this stage. I mean, yes, there are things that happen, you know, in the physical world. There are negative consequences where someone is denied a job or they can't go to school because they're white. And yes, that's happening. There is discrimination at those levels. But most of it yet at this point is kind of a mental enslavement, really, that they've managed to do on us. And if you let that go, if you just decide one day that it's like, all right, well, this is how they want me to feel, I'm just not going to feel it anymore. Just don't give a shit about it. Just don't give a shit. Just let it go and be the best you can be. That is a liberating feeling. And that's when I think you can begin to do positive things as opposed to just kind of wallow in that negativity. So essentially, you're right in what you're saying. It's just letting that go and achieving something and dreaming as well. As you said before, if we can't imagine it, we're never going to be able to create it. If we can't dream it, we'll never be able to make that come true, you know?
Exactly. It's just a switch. I mean, and then it's gone and you're free. But making that switch, that's the hard part. But it's kind of like you're looking at a hill and the hill looks so steep. And then you get up and it was just a little hill. And I feel like winter bathing is good for this, because it's just you naked going through the ice, you know, down in the water and letting all the, it's kind of like when you imagine you're wearing chains and like inscriptions, like in ink on your body or something, that they have, like, they've written this on you and you're going into the water. And then when you're walking up, all this falls from you as the water, you know, falls from your body, all this blame and all this guilt and all these, you know, chains they put on us. It's just poof, and you're free. And you can't, of course, if we do not connect to our roots, we are like a tree without roots. We will fall. Whoever pushes us, whoever tells us that you need to pay reparations for this and that, and, you know, white guilt, whatever, you know, just shut the fuck up. Sorry, pardon my French, but it's such a, you know, I won't go into a long rant on just that white guilt thing, but I'll probably make a video on that because it's just so ridiculous. And it's just a, such a it's all about perspective. They're only telling us about the bad stuff we did. They're not telling us about the bad stuff other people did, like it had some relevance what our ancestors did. You know, some person who looked like me 300 years ago did something. That's why a Swedish girl deserves to be raped. What? So, but of course, it's easy for me to say, but and it's harder to do. But you know, we have this meme in Sweden that, you know, Swede is a cucked, you know, low self esteem, low T, shit lib, who, you know, is proud when his girlfriend goes to the club and gets hit on by, you know, Afghans or whatever. It's like, you know what? 300 years ago, the sound of the Carolinian boots marching was the most fearsome sound that Europe, you know, had heard up to that point. You know, Swedes are, we still have that in us. That's what we have to understand. And when we are freed, like that kid, you know, who got beaten by those immigrants, like, he's afraid, and we put him on a pedestal, like, oh, they're like, these foreigners are so badass and they're so cool, and the media makes them cool, and their music is so cool and so gangster. Yeah, sure, it's gangster, but who gets the police after them? It's right-wing people speaking the truth, not these gangsters in the suburbs that are flashing their Kalashnikovs. They're not getting the police after them, but, you know, people who post pictures.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's true. It's
so
it's very unbalanced, right? In terms of, it's almost like you think there weren't enough police resources, but then I saw that thing in that the Nordic Resistance Movement did in Gothenburg. I did a video about that. It's like just amazing police forces came out just to, like, you know, suppress this demonstration and hold them down.
In Stockholm, you know, 12 riding police. I've never seen that. I've only seen one or two. 12. 12 at the same time. Yeah, of course. And these, you know, look up, people can look up Stockholm City. It's a rap song made by an immigrant. And they are flashing their Kalashnikovs. They're flashing their weapons. Nothing happens. And that got 6.4 million views or something like that.
Jeez, yeah. Yeah, and did you see the other day, the one of the guys from the Nordic Resistance Movement, he was he's got his foot driven over by the cop car. You see that?
Yeah, in Kungälv.
Was that in Kungälv, really?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh jeez. Did you hear anything that happened? I didn't follow up after that. Did his foot break? No, what happened?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so the point is, guys, what we're talking about here is it's the concept of anarcho tyranny, right? That it's seeming total anarchy when it comes to a certain set of criminals doing the criminal behavior, and then of course you have people literally making Facebook posts, oh ladies, and they get like their door smashed in and arrested for hate crimes what's the term, antagonism, or against a specific group, is a specific
hate speech,
yeah, whatever they call it. But one thing you mentioned earlier here, and we can begin to round up on this here in a little bit, but why people care about what other people say, and that is a step to cross as well. That's a threshold to cross over to be able to liberate yourself, right? That essentially, you know, human beings are social animals in that sense. We want to belong, we want to have a group, and that's why, you know, people like you talk about belonging and tribe and, you know, that kind of thing, because that's very important. Mm-hmm. But essentially we're kind people. We want to be liked, and so when other people, or even media, or the educational system, or something, or TV shows and movies, says bad things about us collectively as Europeans, as white people, many people take that to heart and they listen to that criticism. They let that get to them because they essentially are the good human beings. They want to understand how they can fit in, or what they're doing wrong, so that they can fit in. Right. So that's another step in that process, I feel. That we essentially need to get to a point where we just give up trying to be liked. And what I'm saying is that many people might not consciously think of that, but it's a kind of a built-in mechanism, a defense mechanism, so that you will adapt yourself to the conditions of the tribe, so that you will become a strong link in that chain, and so that you'll get to be part of it and survive ultimately, right? It's rooted in survival mechanisms. So it's a good it's a good property to have. But at this stage, we're living in a society which has turned hostile towards its own population, essentially. And so we need to mentally disconnect from being affected when they say bad things about us, or when they're achieving or trying to achieve us feeling bad about who we are, right?
Right. I mean, we need to redefine the people that we include in our concept of tribe. Because when we see someone like going on welfare and we say, that guy is stealing from me, that guy is stealing from the tribe's collective wealth. Like, no, because there are no tribe in Sweden. There is just the violent monopoly called the Swedish state that forcibly removes our income and gives it to, you know, whomever they want to give it to. So if you just stop, we need to stop. This is the absolute mind cancer of universal ethics, that we treat other people like if they were part of our group. Ethics only exist intertribally. Ethics, in my mind, does not exist intertribally. That is between tribes. Only within our tribes, we have our norms, we have our rules, and nobody outside is expected nor receives the benefits of our tribes, of our tribe. So when they show us a picture of some Syrian boy who drowned on the beach of Turkey because his dad wanted a free dental health care in Canada, and we are like, oh, this is so sad. Yeah, but show the girl who can't get kids because she was gang raped by a bunch of Afghans that, you know, the left wants to bring in to be their voting stock. You know, but those pictures not shared around. And because we have been desensitized to that, and they always just, oh, but Swedish men rape too, and we don't care about ourselves. We need to stop caring. Just when your enemy says something to you, we have been brainwashed to react to it. You shouldn't even react. It's just like, okay, he said that. He views you as, like, the immigrants view us as their enemy. And we view them as our friends, and we're trying to integrate them into our society. Like you said, maybe it's because we want to be nice. I don't know. I don't know what normal, you know, Eurovision Song Contest, watching Swedes think and what their motivation is. I think their motivations are really basic, just like, you know, human motivation used to be. It's just like,
yeah, they just want to get along, and yeah,
of
course, easygoing, and just, yeah, no problems, no issues, just be nice, but we don't live in those days anymore. You know, that's the thing. It's competition over territory, over resources. You know,
yeah, you can play that game for a while more, but you know, when the shit hits the fan, as they say, then Sweden will show its true colors.
Exactly, and that's really what we're talking about. Yeah,
and every group will show its true colors, and I mean, this is not, I mean, it's so simple. You know, my little brother, he put it so simply. It's just like, what kind of society do we want to live in? We want to live in a society with people we care about. And we don't want to live in a society with people we don't care about and with people who doesn't care about us. And in fact, we'll do anything, just like these three immigrants did. Just like, they just picked on him just to feel powerful. He was an easy victim, and they can establish their territory. It's so primal.
Yeah, it is. It's primal for sure. And yeah, I think people are going to get to that point where they realize that they're just sick and fed up of living with people who hate us. And again, we're talking about it mean here. It's not obviously true across the board. There is exceptions. There are people that are kind and things like that that come in. We're talking about the general trends now of how things, unfortunately, is developing as the elite and an establishment is trying to achieve something which is unachievable, a multicultural state where everyone gets along, essentially. You know, and that's, it's unachievable, I believe, and it's only through very extremely rigid and punitive laws, tyranny, in other words, where you could achieve for some time kind of a peaceful, basically everyone would have to be in constant check, but it's nothing to do with, like, Western ideals of both liberty but also freedom to that extent. Those two are kind of incompatible there. But hey, Erik, I want to just ask you a little bit about how you're how you're moving on and what's happening next. Are you going to continue more or less making kind of the same type of videos? What's your plans? What do you want to do in the future and stuff like that? And obviously, we wanted to do this with you as well as a way to get people to go over and sub to your, you know, both to your Twitter account, to your Instagram, but also, of course, to your YouTube channel and help you get up that subscriber base again, because you guys are doing good work. Very inspirational. It's good for young guys in Sweden. They need to be aware of this kind of content too. But yeah, what's your goal moving forward here?
Right, I wanna challenge myself and expand into English videos. So like all Europeans across the globe, you know, even in New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, you know, all our guys can take care of the message. And you know, basically, what it boils down to, what I want to do is an archaic revival of the warrior, of the European warrior ethos. And help facilitating men becoming men again. And, you know, whatever route that takes, if it is through podcasts, through videos, through, you know, ranting or talking about workout, doing all of those things, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes, but I will continue with all those platforms on Twitter. I'm not, you know, I just got it, but Instagram and YouTube, that's my thing, and I will start a podcast soon, probably in Swedish. I do live streams, and I'm thinking about starting to do, like I used to do, self-improvement Sunday live streams before it was shut down. I think I'm going to continue that and do it both in Swedish and English, so like separately in English. But yeah, it's
awesome.
You know, I'm still the same, even if the channel went down, I'm still the same guy. But this gives me a chance to like really reflect upon the route taken and what works, what doesn't work, you know, check out the things that are muddy and not so well refined, and just keep on fighting.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good attitude. Definitely keep it up. I mean, you're a young guy, and it's good to see young guys out there motivated and doing things and wanting to change things, and again kind of reflecting more inwardly in that sense, and there's an awful lot of blame to go around, but the fact is all of that blame in the world is not going to fix the situation. It's just up to us to get busy and get going and make sure that we are the ones who take that responsibility. So that's a great philosophy. It's a great direction to go. So I applaud you for that. So guys, head on over to Identitetsvea 2.0. We'll have links in the description. We will link up to Twitter as well if you want to follow that. And also, of course, the Instagram. Let me pull those up here. Here's the Twitter and the Instagram as well. Same name there, Identitetsvea 2.0. So thank you so much for coming on. It's great having you here, Erik. We got to do it again in the future. Keep me posted on how the work goes. I'll keep an eye on the channel. And when something good comes out, maybe I'll invite you back and we can talk again, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for the chat.
Sure, you bet. Thanks so much. All right, guys, that's our show here for today. Hope you enjoyed it with Erik from Identitetsvea, Identity Svea. Very good to have you all here. He's a young guy. He's just really getting started. Good motivational things and stuff like that. And I hope you guys, you know, support him. Head on over there. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. We got to encourage the young guys when they're trying to make a dent into the... really, the difficult situation that we're in. And of course, it's very good that we have individuals that are able to kind of, well, what do we call it? Climb that mountain, so to speak, mentally speaking, in terms of just overcoming all the hurdles that's been set before us and push through. And regardless of opposition, just keep pushing forward. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us again. We're going to be back. I'm going to be back tomorrow with Mark Collette. Interview with him. Then, of course, we have a Flashback Friday, our live show that we do on Fridays. Definitely make sure you tune in to that, 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 2300 hours Central European Time, 11 o'clock in the evening. And then, of course, over the weekend, we have Weekend Warrior, as usual, at redicemembers.com. Exclusive news show that we do there for you guys as well. So thank you to everyone joining us today. We'll be back with much more soon. You know, keep that motivational force, that spirit directed in the right way, and there's nothing that we can't achieve. You know it, I know it, and I think they know it too. All right, guys, we'll be back with much more soon. Take care, everybody. We'll see you later.